All right, everybody, I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA, and this is my update for Monday, April 5th. The batch of stimulus payments going out this week should finally include non-filers who receive Social Security benefits, SSDI, SSI, and Railroad Retirement Benefits. I know this delay has been challenging for a lot of people, but if you're in that group and you're eligible for a check, you will hopefully see it sometime this week. The official date for Social Security beneficiaries and other recipients of federal benefits who do not file a tax return is April 7th. That's this coming Wednesday, 2 days. Payments have, of course, been showing up a few days before or after the official date for many, groups so far. Again, I would recommend using the Get My Payment tool if you have any questions about your payment. It will at least be able to tell you whether or not that's on the way, and you may be able to see which bank account that deposit will be going into in case there's any ambiguity there. Unfortunately, neither the Veterans Administration nor the IRS has come out with any information so far covering Veterans Affairs beneficiaries. They've basically been stuck at the end of the line for the last several weeks, so I would expect them to release more details soon, but at this point, I don't have any concrete information for that group, and I'm very sorry about that. The IRS did come out with an announcement today pertaining to claiming the recovery rebate credit on 2020 tax returns. As you know, this is the credit that makes up for any first or second stimulus payment you did not receive. It's a little bit confusing because the first and second stimulus payments were largely based on people's 2019 tax returns, right? And for some, in some cases, 2018 tax returns. But the recovery rebate credit, which is claimed on the 2020 tax return, is based on your 2020 tax information. The IRS announced they're sending notices out to people who filed their 2020 tax return claiming the recovery rebate credit, but the IRS is sending notices to individuals who the IRS believes calculated their own 2020 recovery rebate credit incorrectly, and so the IRS corrected the credit, essentially. IRS says there are a few common reasons why they would correct the recovery rebate credit, including the individual was claimed as a dependent on another person's 2020 tax return, the individual did not provide a Social Security number valid for employment, the qualifying child they claimed for the credit was age 17 or older on January 1st, as well as math errors relating to calculating adjusted gross income and any stimulus payments received for first and second stimulus. All right, let's move on to infrastructure. As we all know, the Biden administration is pivoting to the infrastructure plan that Biden announced recently. And good news for Chuck Schumer, as I'm recording this is breaking, so I don't have the full story here yet. I will have it for you tomorrow. But breaking news is that Chuck Schumer has released a statement today implying that Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough has, quote, advised that a revised budget resolution may contain budget reconciliation instructions. The statement also reads, on the other hand, that no decisions have been made on a legislative path forward using Section 304, which is what I've been talking about recently here on the channel. So we don't quite have the full story here, but Schumer is definitely making it sound like the Senate parliamentarian is at least cracking open the door to a revised reconciliation bill that could possibly permit Joe Biden's infrastructure bill to be passed without Republican support, meaning they could pass it, if Schumer gets his way here, with 50 votes from all members of the Democratic caucus, with, of course, Vice President Kamala Harris, who is president of the Senate, casting the tie-breaking vote. However, the Democratic caucus in the Senate will still have to deal with one of its own members, Joe Manchin, senator from West Virginia, who told a West Virginia news outlet that he won't support the infrastructure package as it's currently written. Manchin said, as the bill exists today, it needs to be changed. This bill will not be in the same form you've seen it introduced or seen people talking about it. If I don't vote to get on it, it is not going anywhere. It's more than just me. There are six or seven other Democrats that feel strongly about this. We have to be competitive, and we are not going to throw caution to the wind. One provision Manchin specifically highlighted was the potential increase in the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. He thinks taking it any higher than 25% could hurt the U.S. economy in the global landscape. And obviously, Manchin has a lot of power when the White House needs support from every senator in the Democratic caucus. Manchin also suggested that some elements of the bill might have a greater chance of making it through the Senate if they're separated out as separate pieces of legislation. There are some senators who might support a traditional infrastructure package, but don't want to go along with the more progressive areas of Biden's plan. So at this point, it's impossible to predict how those negotiations are going to play out, whether Manchin is really going to hold up the infrastructure bill like he has kind of held up other pieces of legislation in the past, whether there are really six or seven other Democrats on his side, etc. But as it stands, it looks like Joe Biden is going to struggle to get this through the Senate unless he's willing to make some concessions to moderate Democrats. Now, one element of the infrastructure bill is a bump to the corporate tax rates. That's how they want to pay for some of this new spending. But the administration has also been working on a global minimum corporate tax, which could dramatically affect how competitive the United States is in the world market. Joe Manchin's objection is that raising the corporate tax too far could end up pushing companies outside of the United States entirely, and different versions of that argument have essentially driven a massive decline in corporate tax rates around the world for decades. In 1980, the global average corporate tax rate was close to 50% when adjusted for GDP, in other words, giving greater weight to countries with more economic output. Since then, it has consistently dropped. Now it's hovering right around that 25-28% range worldwide that we're talking about in the American Job Plan. So the problem here is that countries want to tax corporations, but they know that the big companies will simply move somewhere else if they raise their taxes too far. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen touched on some of these points today. She said, "Together we can use a global minimum corporate tax to make sure the global economy thrives based on a more level playing field in the taxation of multinational corporations and spurs innovation, growth, and prosperity. It is about making sure that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in essential public goods and respond to crisis, and that all citizens fairly share the burden of financing government. We are working with G20 nations to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate that can stop the race to the bottom." Of course, it's hard to say whether this is something other countries will agree to. This is one of those situations where you want everyone else to kind of be bound by a minimum tax as well, but you don't necessarily have an incentive to take that step yourself, right? But let's say the G20, right? That includes the European Union, as well as the US, Canada, China, India, Australia, Russia, UK, and some other major economic players. If they agree to a 25% minimum corporate tax, then 28% might not be as much of a problem with respect to the global competition. Currently, the UK charges 19%, Sweden charges 21.4%, Finland charges 20%, and Ireland is even more aggressive at just 12.5%. So one reason why the administration has been pushing this angle is to get those countries to bring their tax rates up. But again, that also becomes easier for them to do when they know that nobody is going to undercut them because of taxes, because of a global minimum, or at least a minimum within the G20 nations. All right, folks, that's all I have for you today. Joe Manchin's statement is going to have some important ramifications on the trajectory of this infrastructure bill. This is obviously a key element of Biden's agenda for the rest of the year. So obviously the president won't want to water down the plan too much, but at the same time, he wants to get it through in some form. Of course, Schumer's statement today about the parliamentarians ruling was somewhat cryptic. Hopefully, I will be able to bring you more clarification tomorrow. As always, I want to thank you for watching to the end. I really do appreciate your support, and I will see you next time. Bye.